Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 5th of July, recording at 9:49 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, stock markets were mostly steady, particularly the ASEAN sector, where the Philippines and Malaysia hover near all-time highs, which were hit recently. And this week, in fact. And Singapore has really been on a tear here as well. China went against that trend and weakened on poor economic data, although the Hang Seng Index closed up 0.5%. Now, very small decline of about 0.25% in for Japan's Nikkei. European stock markets seesawed a little bit and then weakened. We had the problem really was a sharp rise in Spanish and also in Italian 10-year bond yields. I think the Spanish bond yields are back up over 6.6%. So not good. And the only two markets that I can see that buck this trend in here, because the others all lost their gains and moved into the minus column, but the UK was up a tiny fraction, just 8 points on the FTSE 100 index. And Switzerland had an even smaller gain overall. In the Americas, Wall Street had weakened, then pared those gains considerably. Closed about unchanged on the NASDAQ composite, but down 0.5% on the S&P. Now, we had some rate news out as well that I should mention. Within the space of 45 minutes, so we had the ECB cut rates. Its benchmark rate was cut to 0.75%. That's 25 basis point cut. And it cut the deposit rate to zero. Savers will love that. And China cut interest rates as well for the second time within a month. Bank of England extended its QE program, so the stimulative measures are coming, and they need to in Asia. Now, let me get back to the review here. Long-dated government bond prices are a bit firmer in here today, particularly bunds. The U.S. dollar surged shortly after that rate-cutting news in Europe, even though it was widely discounted. And that really weighed on the euro in particular, down to 123.94 as I speak. Sterling also fell back fairly sharply to 155.25. Elsewhere, I mean, it hasn't lowered the Aussie at all. That's at 102.86, and the Asian currencies were a little affected generally. So it was mainly just the euro with sterling also getting some collateral damage. Precious metals came back quite sharply. It's interesting because they were very firm this morning. And but then I guess this was a case of buy the rumor, sell the news, because they fell quite sharply after the rate announcements. And as I speak, and after hours trading, we've got palladium down 13 to 585. We've got silver down 63 cents to 27.65. We've got gold down $11 to 16.04 and change, and we've got platinum down $14 to 1477. So these are big turnarounds. Well, no, they had modest gains at the highs of the day, and then the losses followed. Now, elsewhere, industrial metals were lower. Crude oil down in the WTIs down to 86.68. We had the Brent oil surge up over 102 briefly, and that was on the news of a strike by offshore oil workers. And but then it gave up that ground. It's hovering right around the $100 level, unchanged, pretty much unchanged. The biggest drama on the day was following the 4th of July holiday. These grains and beans had another melt up due to the heat wave and drought that's affecting the U.S., particularly in that Midwest region where these important crops are planted. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets, a little pause here. They've had some good rallies overall. They're not going to like that rise in euro rates, the Spanish and Italian rates. That's going to get people looking over their shoulders at Europe and people in on other continents, and it's certainly going to get Europeans looking to Mario Draghi to see what rabbit he can pull out of the hat next. A good man to have in charge, by the way, but of course he wants the politicians to do more to reassure the markets. Technically, stock markets have done pretty well overall, and they've got a little bit of breathing space. We've got those late June small reaction lows there. We're above those, and the very important early June lows that I was stressing so much last month and at the beginning of this month, we're well above those. And where so many people were, with the exception of China, among major markets, and with so many people being so bearish overall, they've been caught out by this rally overall. And it's a rally in which high yielders have done as well as any other sector. I think that's one of the reasons why Singapore has been on a tear. So, but with the good news following the European summit, the surprise news, I should say, because expectations were so low, that's probably dissipated. So tomorrow, well, I'm probably going to get a mixed day, maybe a little more profit taking. Now, looking around the globe, the stimulative measures that we're now seeing, the increasing stimulative measures by China. You know, I've said on in many of these broadcasts that I felt that central banks usually do too little too late, and that was the case this time with China, and I think India could do with some additional cuts. That stock market, incidentally, has been surprisingly firm given the all the bearish talk that we've had for a good many months, and no doubt those two are connected because that became eventually a contrary indicator. People had sold out of India and were perhaps so much short. But at any rate, that's been one of the better performers there after the ASEAN sectors, ASEAN markets. Now, we still like the high yielders overall. Interest rates coming down is well should help these growth economies to recover. And so overall, not not too bad an environment for equities generally, despite all the ongoing concerns over Europe. Now, what concerns me most at the moment is this weather-related crisis and I don't use that word lightly, that's hitting the U.S. corn crop and also is affecting the soybean crop as well, and possibly wheat to a lesser extent. But the U.S. is the world's biggest exporter of corn. The USDA was expecting a record crop this year, and indeed, it might well have been a record crop if everything had gone well, but it seldom does. And really, this heat wave during the pollination period has been devastating. So we're going to see, and it isn't over yet. They're forecasting that temperatures will drop, mind you, in Fahrenheit terms. They've been triple-digit temperatures across the region, so they're forecasting a drop in temperatures by the weekend, but that's not going to provide much respite because they're not seeing any rain next week on the latest forecasts. Perhaps that may change a little bit, but that's not good news at this stage. So we may see this surge in the grains and beans continue here. And when you get a weather-related move of this magnitude, I mean, technically, all you can do is say, it'll go until it starts to lose momentum. That's what we can watch. It's very, very much dependent on the reports on weather. But what will matter in the medium to longer term is that this crop damage is certainly going to lift prices for a number of foods, so no respite there. As I've said before, we will not have the carryover stocks reserves as a buffer here that people were hoping for. And I'm afraid we're going to see, as a consequence of this, probably some food riots in some countries. You remember that was a key factor in the Arab Spring. Well, hopefully that does not become a major problem anywhere. But we're very dependent on extremely good crops elsewhere around the globe. And I think the Ukraine is also suffering from some drought in terms of its crop, corn crop. So not good on that front. Okay, precious metals. Well, they'd run into a little bit of resistance. Gold and platinum have run into a little bit of resistance at the higher side of their ranges, and the others are taking their cue from those two. Overall, if you look at the gold chart and the platinum chart, and they are in the pole position, that the upward dynamics that we have seen within the current ranges indicates, to me at any rate, that they're under accumulation. Demand is gradually getting the upper hand, but you still get a bit of a tug of war in these bottoming out phases quite often. And we can also see that in silver. And it looks like they're going to range around a little bit more here. My view remains, as I say, that it is accumulation and that we will see ranging uptrends develop during the remainder of this year prior to new highs for gold in 2013. But for that forecast to remain credible, we really do need to see the lows over the last couple of months hold. Okay, all the best to all of you.